This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abom, welcome everyone. Thanks everyone for joining. Parshas Chukas, usually we have this show Wednesday night. This week, wedding, graduation season. So it's going to be tonight. Our Shiur Man Sefer Bamidbar, sponsored by our good friend, Rabbi Isaac Yosilovsky, Lili Nishmas, his father, Rabbi Shabsi, then Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, Shama Shavan Aliyah, Yomel Siosha for his whole family, and by Dr. Zakheim and family, Lili Nishmas, Rabbi Shloima Eliezer, Ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, Shama Shavan Aliyah. Tonight's Shiur is sponsored by Binyamin and Tikva Fuchs in honor of Dr. and Mrs. Menachem Fuchs. May they be Marach Yomim, Vishanim, and continue to be the wonderful grandparents which they are. That's very nice. That's nice of them. Okay. Welcome, everyone. Bruchim Abayim. Parshas Chukas. This subject was brewing in my mind for a little while, and it's still in the works. Let's see how it comes out. The Rambam, in his last comments to Hilchos Taharos, the Rambam says that of all branches of halacha, the one which is least understandable to the human mind, the one that we can't really wrap our minds around and is really the epitome of a choik, a statute, is Tumah V'Tahara. We don't have any understanding of what Tumah is because we don't see any noticeable change to the body. There's nothing concrete that's happening. And what exactly is the Tahara process? And the Rambam says, even immersion in a mikvah, miklal ha-chukim hu, it's included in chukim, she'ein ha-tumah tit o'itsoya. The Rambam says, tumah is not dirt, it's not filth. She'tavar b'mayim, it's not like you're taking a bath. Tumah is not sweat, tumah is not soya, it's not like you're taking a shower and you're removing. So what exactly is the tumah, and how does the process of tara work? We have no idea. It's a complete chayk. Elixeris HaKosavu, it's a heavenly decree. V'hadovar tole b'kavanas halev. However, one thing we do know is that you need to have kavana. Which means if you just are walking along the shore and you fall into the ocean, then whatever spiritual impurity was on you will not be cleansed by going into the water. So even though it's a chayk, so you would think if somebody threw you into the ocean, you would become tahar. No, a certain degree of kavana is needed. Says the Rambam, that already teaches us a certain message. And that teaches us that if somebody does not have a mikvah, and somebody does not have one of the halachically ordained ways of rendering oneself pure, however, if you are mechavein, that means you focus your mind to purify yourself from improper thoughts, attitudes, perspectives, ideologies, the Rambam says, Kivon shehiskim b'libai, once you've decided and committed, lifroish me'oisan ho'etzais, to separate from those bad counsels, the hevi nafshay, and here's the key word of tonight's shir, b'mei hadas, in the waters of das, tahar, you're pure. That expression really captured my heart. It captivated me. So here you have somebody, we'll call them, they're not on the right path. They're committing averos, let's say. And they have a false ideology, they have a certain view of the world, let's say that they're in control, and their destiny is up to their own efforts. Let's say somebody is in the wrong path. And then they decide, you know what? I will now submit myself to the will of Hashem and the will of the Torah, and I'm going to cast away all improper attitudes and perspectives. Says the Rambam, once you brought your soul in the water of Das, you're Tahar. The water of Das. Now, obviously this is allegorical, this is figurative, this is not literal, you're not going into the guy sitting in his office. But as soon as you have this change of attitude, you're figuratively in the water of Das. And this word Das, I believe the Rambam selected intentionally, and this word Das carries great meaning. Why does the Rambam call a new perspective of something the waters of Das? We all know there's six Siddharm of the Mishnah. Yeah? Zram, Moed, Nashim, Nazikin, Kachim, Taharos. There's a age-old mnemonic to remember it. Zaman, Nakat. Zram, Moed, Nashim, Nazikin, kachim tarais. Zman nakat. Zman nakat. You got to take advantage of your time. Zman nakat. Now, where do these six sedarim come from? There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk in Isaiah says, V'haya emunas itechan will be the belief of your times. Chosen Yeshuais, a treasury of salvation. Chachmas vadas, wisdom and knowledge. Yiras Hashem hi oid sarai. The fear of God is its storehouse, says the Gemara on Shabbos, Amar Reish Lakish. Ma'i dichsev, what does the pasuk mean? V'haya emunas itecha, chosen Yeshuais, chachmas vadas. Emuna zaseh der zroim. Emuna refers to Zroim. Why? Because here you have a seed. Seed is food. I could eat it. What am I doing? I throw it in the dirt. You throw it in the dirt, it's going to decompose. Why would you throw good food in the dirt? Because I have faith in the one who created the world that this little seed will produce more food than the seed itself. So Zroim shows Emuna. Fine. Itecha, your times, that say they're Mayed. Mayed is obviously, Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, Sukkah, Psachim, and so forth. Chosen is inheritance. Zesei der Nashim. You need a woman to have inheritors. Yeah? If you don't have a lady, you can't have Yerusha. Fine. It's interesting. Is that really the main function of Nashim? But that's how the Gemara categorizes it. Yeshua's salvation, zaseh der nezikin. That is the laws of damage. The laws of damage teach you, protect you from causing damage, and also protect you from taking away other people's money. Because it's actually very easy to infringe on other people's property, and Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Vasra teaches you how to guard yourself not to cause damage to other people. Chachmas, what is wisdom? Zaseh der kodshim. These are the laws of the sacrificial responsibilities. V'das is taharais. Das is taharais. I believe the Rambam has dubbed a purification process by changing your attitude. He calls it the waters of das, because das is synonymous with tahara. Taharais is called das. Now, this is what bothers me. If you were to name one miktsaya, one discipline in Torah, das, I would submit that the last area of Torah that you'd call das is taharos. After all, the Rambam says it's the one area of Torah that we have no understanding of. There's no logic to it. There's no human reasoning to it. Monetary laws is logical. If you say kula sheli and I say chatzi sheli, so that means I'm admitting half is yours. So half you own, and we're disputing the other half. So yachloiku on the other half, right? There's a logic. There's a rhyme and reason for monetary laws. The Gemara often above Metzia says, the Gemara wants to know, where do we learn out the law of presumptive status? The Gemara says, what do you mean, where do we learn it out? Lamali kras svarahu. It's a logic. I don't need the Torah. It's a logic. So I would call monetary laws das. It makes sense to the human psyche. But why would I call taharos das? It's the one area of Torah that we don't understand. It's a chayik. It's very interesting. What is das? Taharos. What is taharos? What the Rambam calls the area of Torah we have no understanding of. Okay. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos says that after this Gemara that lists the six orders of the Mishnayos, the Gemara, it's a frightening Gemara. I'm new over here in the shul, you know, so I have to be careful. I can't give Moser, right? But it's the Gemara. This gentleman says I could. He came back from Israel, you know. Go for it, right? It's not me. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, B'shashem achnisen adam ladin. After 120, a person enters the courtroom. Imrim lai, they ask you six important questions. Number one, nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. Did you deal faithfully in business? Were you honest in business? That's question number one. Question number two, kavati itim l'tayra. Did you set times to study Torah? So why don't they ask you first, did you set times to learn Torah? Why is that second? The answer is, because if you're swindling in business, then we don't need your Torah. The first thing we have to decide is, you got to be a straight, honest person. Once you're honest, now the Torah that you learn could have value. Next question. Asakta b'puria v'rivia. Did you make efforts to procreate? Tzipisa li Yeshua. Did you wait the coming of Mashiach? Pelpalta b'chachma. Did you... You know, it's one thing. You go to a shir, and you learn the Daf Yomi, and you sit back, and you hear the 45-minute shir, and you put it on double speed, so you could do the whole Daf in 22 and a half minutes. Okay, but it's not enough just to learn. You need to be actively engaged in the learning. Pelpalta b'chachma. You need to argue. You need to discuss it. You need to engage in it. And then, hivanta davar mitach davar. Did you try to extrapolate based on what you learned? Those are the six questions. Okay? Now, I always learned these two statements of Reish Lakish and Rav are unconnected. Number one, there's six orders of the Mishnah. Number two, after 120, they ask you six questions. And these two teachings are unrelated. Comes the Gra, and the Gra is quoted by the Maritz Chiyos, that the words of Rava are a direct offshoot of the teaching of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says there's six orders of the Mishnah. Zroim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikim, Kachim, Tarais. Comes Rava, and Rava says after 120, they're going to ask you, did you learn the six Siddharim of the Mishnah? Question number one is, did you deal honestly in business? That's related to Zroim, which is Emunah. Did you learn Zroim? Did you learn Zroim? I know you learned Baba Metzia. That you learned in fifth grade. Did you ever learn Seder Zroim? Then, Kavata Itim. Did you set times? Did you learn the Itim? There's the Gemaras of Itim. Moyed. Noshim is Choysen, Yerusha. Not Kavata Asakta B'Periya V'Rivya. Did you learn Seder Noshim? Mesechta Yevamis is about Periya V'Rivya. Mesechta Kedushin is about Periya V'Rivya. Then they ask you, what about Nezikin? What do they ask you about Nezikin? Did you wait for the Yeshua? Nezikin is Yeshuais. Did you learn Kodshim? Kodshim Pilpalta B'Chachma. Kodshim is Chachma. And Hevanta Dover Mitach Dover. Did you learn Tarois, which is Das? Now I have to tell you, it sounds a little overwhelming. You know, that means after 120, one needs to be prepared to answer in the affirmative. When they say, did you learn Shisha? Now, what's interesting, it doesn't say, did you learn all the Gemaras? They're going to ask if you learned all the Mishnayos. So my kids came home from yeshiva. They came home very excited. They had a Chashev Rav came to the yeshiva, and they said, he said, that if any boy, these are elementary school kids, any boy who learns one Mishnah a day is guaranteed to become a Talmud Chacham. Now, that's a very smart thing to tell a kid. You know, because it's doable. So the kids came home that they wanted to do it. I was so happy. On their own, they wanted to do it. One of my kids, he said, if learning one Mishnah a day, you become a Talmud Chacham. If you learn two Mishnayos a day, you'll become the Gadol Hadar. So he's learning two Mishnayos a day. So I'm all for that. But it's actually very doable. If a person learns one Mishnah a day, in 12 years, you can learn Shisha Seder Mishnah. Okay, we should all have the time to learn everything. But what is Tarois? Tarois is Das. What is Das? What we don't know, what we don't understand. Let's investigate that. There's a man by the name of Yosef. His father was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov taught Yosef everything he knew. V'Yisrael ahavas Yosef mikol banav ki ben zekunim hulai. Yosef was the ben zekunim of Yaakov. Comes the Balaturim. Now Rashi says, what does it mean he was the Ben Zakunim? That Yaakov taught Yosef everything he learned in Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. Says the Balaturim, what exactly did he teach him? Zakunim. It stands for, it's a mnemonic. Zroim, Kachim, Nashim, Yeshuais, which is Nezikin, and Mayid. He taught him everything. Zroim, Kachim, Nashim, Yeshuais, Mayed. He taught him everything. What's going on over here? Why didn't Yaakov Avinu teach Yosef Taras? Interesting. He didn't teach him Taras. Comes Megala Amukos. Now Megala Amukos was a great Mekubal. He was the Rav in Krakow. My wife is a descendant of the Megala Amukos. About 2 years ago I was in Krakow. I'm gonna take time to have a commercial. We're going on a trip, July 4th weekend. We're going to Kivrei Tzadikim in Hungary, Ukraine, and Belarus. We're going to the Chafetz Chaim, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and the Chassam Sofer, and many others. About 2 years ago, I was in Krakow, and I knew I wanted to go to the Ramah, and to the Tosfos Yom Tov, and many others. The Rebbe, Reb Heschel, is there. And I was going to go to Megala Amukos. So, by the way, on his kever, it says he had Giloy Eliyahu Panim El Panim. That's what it says. He was in the times of the Taz. So I went there. It was 2 days after Tisha B'Av. We were the first ones in the cemetery, and it was the yard site of the Megala Amukos. So Megala Amukos wrote 222 Perushim on the second pasuk in Parshas Va'aschanan. Vayomer Hashem Eli Ravlach. 222 Perushim. Says Megala Amukos, Yaakov taught Yosef Zroim, Kodshim, Noshim, Yeshuais, Moed. What about Tarois? Tarois Yosef had to go down to Mitzrayim himself, see the Tumah of Mitzrayim, separate from it, and that would be his experience of Tarois. It sounds like he couldn't be taught Tarois, he had to experience it. Interesting. So first of all, I think it's incredible that the Baal HaTurim finds this remez, and Tarois is glaringly absent, and the Megala Amukos explains, yeah, he couldn't teach it to him, Yosef had to experience it himself. The Imrei Emes also is bothered by this Baal HaTurim. Why didn't Yaakov Avinu teach Yosef Taharos? And he says, Taharos you can't be taught. You need to learn it yourself. Why can't you be taught Taharos? Why do you have to learn it yourself? Did Yosef ever learn Taharos? Now this is unbelievable. When the brothers came down to Yosef, Yosef says, Ani Yosef, ha'oid avichai. So the brothers didn't know what to say. They finally reconcile, and Yosef sends a message to Yaakov Avinu. What does he send? Take a look in number 9. Ula aviv shalach kizois, and to his father he sent asara chamoirim, 10 donkeys, noisim mituv Mitzrayim, carrying the good of Egypt. Says Rashi, what's the good of Egypt? Shalach la yayin yashan. He sent him old wine. Shedas zekeinim noicha himenu, that the das of the elders is pleased with. Says the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss. Why is Yosef sending to Yaakov old wine? That the das of zekeinim is calmed with. What does das represent? Tarois. Yosef left his father. He had learned Zroim, Moye, Noshim, Nezikin, Kodshim. And his father's worried, is the kid still religious? Is the kid still observant? Did he forget everything he learned? So Yosef wanted to send a message to his father, Dad, not only didn't I forget anything I learned, I was Moisef, I even added, I even learned Tarois. Here's the symbol, Yayin Yashan Shadas. Das, I learned Das, I learned Tarois. And you can add, Zekeinim. You taught me Zekeinim. Zroim, Kachim, Nashim, Yeshuais, Moye. I'm adding Das to it. I learned Das, I learned Taros as well. That's also interesting. Yosef had to experience Taros in Mitzrayim. By the way, in the Sefer Eis Ratzon, he brings, what was Yosef's new nickname in Egypt? Safnas. Paneach, that the numerical value of Tzafnas is Taharais. So so that's also a simen that Yosef mastered the Seder of Taharais. Okay. Let's see if we could maybe start tying it together. The Tosfos Yom Tov wrote a commentary to Mishnayos. Of course, he's also buried in Krakow. And the Tosfos Yom Tov says that what is the function of Taharos? We purify ourselves. Here, I'll take a look at number 13. V'seder nashim, kenegdoi seder Taharos, l'taher hatmei hamistame'im, to purify those who have become impure, be'itio shel nachash, by the sting of the snake, shehevi hatumah l'olam. All tumah came into the world through the snake. The snake brought all tumah into the world. Now, how did the snake bring all tumah into the world? When did the snake bring all tumah? Well, we know. Before Adam Rishon sinned, man would live forever. So there's no tumas meis. So because of the snake, there's a concept of Tumas Meis. So the snake brought Tumas Meis to the world. There's a Sefer Chikrei Lev of Rav Aryeh Lev Haiman. There's a Rav, I think he was passed away in more recent times. I believe he was a Rav in Bayit Vagan. And he adds, not only was Tumas Meis brought into the world through the sin of Adam Rishon, Tumas Nida came to the world because of the sin of Adam Rishon. Until then, Chazal say, Hashem cursed Chava, that she harba arba itzvoynech veheroynech. All the woman's cycle was a result of the sin of Adam Harishain. So here, Tumas Meis came about from eating from the forbidden fruit. Tumas Nida came about as a result of eating from the forbidden fruit. And even Tumas Tsaras, who was the first Mitzoyra, Chazal say, the Nachash spoke Lashon Hara on God. He told Adam and Chava, eat the fruit. God doesn't want you to eat the fruit because He ate the fruit and He created the world. If you eat the fruit, you could create worlds also. So the Nachash spoke Lashon Hara. He was the first Mitzoyra. All Tumma came into the world from the Nachash. And therefore we learn Tarois to overcome the sin of the Nachash. But I'm not saying the name of the sin. When Adam ate from the Eitz Ha Das, all Tumah came into the world through Das. Isn't that interesting? Taharois is also called Das. So there's the Eitz Ha Das that brought all Tumah into the world, but then there's Taharois, which is the ultimate Das that purifies us from the sin of the snake. That's also certainly of note. The Eitz Ha Das brought Tumah into the world, and Das of Taharois purifies us. Let's add another interesting nekuda. You ever see they have the Alshech in English from Rabbi Monk, right? They say, a nice Alshech. Do they have a Kliyakar? No. Do you remember the teaching of Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, Rashi in this week's Parsha? After, at the end of the subject of Paraduma, Rashi says, actually, my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, how would you like to have a Talmud like Rashi, you know? But Moshe Hadarshan was the Rebbe of Rashi. Actually, I'm a descendant of Rashi. Direct descendant of Rashi. So are you, by the way. 80% of Ashkenazic Jews are direct descendants of Rashi. Because Rashi had, back in the times of the Crusades, there were only 10,000 Ashkenazic Jews. And Rashi had 5 daughters. So statistically, 8 out of 10, 4 out of 5 Ashkenazim are descendants of Rashi. Anyway, Rashi brings from Moshe Hadarshan a very logical reason for Paraduma. The Jews sinned with the Egal. So if you have company, and the kid goes and he takes chocolate, your guest's kid takes chocolate, and he smears it. Gordon, let's say, you know, we come up to your house, and the kid smears chocolate all over your table. So who's going to clean up? You have to bring the mommy comes, and she cleans up the mess of the child. Tava ima is kanea chalbana. The mother comes, she wipes up for the child. So the egel was the source of sin. So you bring the para to clean up. The para is the kapar for the egel. And then Rashi says, the para aduma comes from the Jews' own fun, just like they made the egel with their own jewelry. And why red? Because sin is red. And why tamima? Because before the sin of the paraduma, the Jews were tamim. And why does it have to be an animal that doesn't have a yoke? Because the Jews threw off the yoke of heaven. And why Elazar HaKohen does the paraduma, not Aaron? Because Ein Kategar, Nasa Sanegar, Aaron made the egel, so he can't defend them. Fine. And why do you burn the para? Why do you burn it? The answer is because they burnt the egel, so corresponding to egel. And why three species? Let's mute everyone. Why three species? Because 3,000 Jews died at the egel. And why a tall cedar tree and a lowly hyssop? The Jews were arrogant and now they need to humble themselves. And why do you put away the ashes of Paraduma Limeshmeres? You know, by the way, Paraduma, the red bull, right? You know that the owner of Red Bull, he passed away on Shabbos Parshas Parah. It's a well-known fact. Really, Be'emet. Anyway, no extra charge for that. So l'mishmeres, the ashes of the Parah Adumah have to be put away l'mishmeres, because God said the Chiro Egel is pakud for all generations. So we have, fine. And the same way the Egel rendered anyone who was involved in with it Tamei, so the Parah Adumah renders Tamei those who are involved with it. And the same way Moshe took the Egel and he purified the Jewish people with the ashes of the Egel, the Parah Adumah is Metaher. Ad kedei kach, this is such a beautiful reason that everybody asks, so why is it a chayk? We have the reason of Rav Moshe HaDarshan. Okay, that's a different subject. But here's the big question for today. That means Rav Moshe HaDarshan is saying that what's the Parah Adumah? A kapara for the Egel. So the Al Sheikh asks, and the Kli Yakar asks, how can you say the Parah Adumah is a kapara for the Egel? If we would take the Parah Adumah and sacrifice the Parah Adumah, let's say on the anniversary of the date that they worshipped the Egel on Shavuos HaBetamos, so you can say it's a kapara for the Egel. But what do we use the Parah Adumah for? If someone comes into contact with a dead body, what is coming into contact with a dead body got to do with a kapara over the Egel? How could you just theorize, oh, the Parah Adumah is a kapar for the Egel, but we only use it when people become tummy. What does tumma have to do with the Egel? So the Al Sheikh says, and the Kli Yakar calls this pshat Perush Yakar, that originally, before the sin of the Eitz Hadas, there was no tumma. Then Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, it brought tumma to the world. Man now dies. There's something called Tumas Nida, there's Mitzayra. But when we stood on Sinai, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Paska Zuha Masan, their poison ceased. And man was going to live forever. Ani Amarti Elohim Atem, God said you're going to live forever. So when we stood on Har Sinai, there would have been no Tumah. Then when we sinned with the Egel, it reinstated Tumah. So therefore, when is it appropriate to bring Kapara for the Egel? When someone comes into contact with a dead body. That would be the most opportune time to bring Kapara for the Chet Ha'egel. Let's investigate. What does Das mean? What does Das mean? Check out number 18. Vayikra el Moshe vayedaber Hashem elav. Where does it say that? Vayikra el Moshe vayedaber Hashem elav. Anyone remember? Beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Vayikra el Moshe. Says the Medrash Mikan Amru, called Talmud Chacham She'ein Bay Das Nevela Toiva Himenu. A Torah scholar that doesn't have Das, a carcass is better than it. Why is a carcass better? Because a Talmud Chacham that doesn't have Das, he doesn't have manners, he doesn't have courtesy, he doesn't have Midos Toivais, people don't know to stay away from. Better a carcass that everyone smells how rotten it is and they know to stay away from than the Talmud Chacham who knows a lot of Torah but people don't know not to stay away from him. But then the Gemara says, how do I know that a Talmud Chacham has to have Das? Tedol Chashakin, I'll prove it. Tseyu lamad mi Moshe avi hachachma avi hanavim. Let's go out and learn from Moshe, the father of all wisdom, the father of all the prophets, Shehoitzi Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. He took the Jews out of Egypt. Through him, many miracles were performed. He went up to the heavens. He brought down the Torah. He built the Mishkan. He didn't go into the Mishkan until God called him. He knocked on the door first. God said, come in, then Moshe went in. But even Moshe, despite his whole resume and all his achievements, he didn't enter the Mishkan until he was called. From here we see, you could be the greatest person. You could be Moshe Rabbeinu, you could go up to heaven, you could bring down the Torah, you could build the Mishkan. It doesn't matter what your resume is, you're never allowed to forego politeness and courtesy. What is this called? Das. Das. Moshe Rabbeinu had Das. The Yushalmi says, Saturday night, Matzoy Shabbos, you make Havdalah in Shemana Esrei. And what bracha? Ata chonen l'adam das. Why? Im ein das, Havdalah minayin. If you don't have das, you can't make havdalah. If you don't know what oyer is and what choshech is, you can't separate between them. If you don't know what Yisrael is and you don't know what Bein Ha'amim is, you can't separate between them. And you know the Kuzari writes a very important, non-politically correct thing. And that is, as great as the difference is between doimim and soimeach, inanimate and animate, between a rock and a plant, the same way there's a difference between soimeach and chai, between plants and animals, the same way there's a difference between chai and adam, the greatest havdalah is bein Yisrael v'ha'amim. It's a completely different level of existence. Now, in order to make havdalah, you need to understand what is chol and what is kodesh, and then you could be mavdil. But if you don't have das, you can't make havdalah. Which means the definition of das is knowing the boundary of something. Das means, I know what kodesh is, I know what chol is. Okay, once I know what their respective boundaries are, I could separate between them. Says the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer was the great poisek and Rebbe of Sachachov. He wrote Shalsa Chuvas Avnei Nezer. He wrote the Eglei Tal and Hilcha Shabbos. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he went up to heaven. He spoke to God. He was in God's prize disciple. He brought down the man. He split the sea. He could have been very chummy and buddy-buddy with God. He could have, you know, like sometimes you have a good friend, you just walk in, you barge in their front door. If there was anyone who had the right to just enter the Mishkan without being called, it was Moshe. But Moshe had das. You know what that means, he had das? He knew exactly who he was and who God was, and he recognized more than anybody else the vast gap between the greatest man who ever lived, and he doesn't even come to the beginning of the lowest madrega of the divine. Moshe Rabbeinu had das. He knew the respective boundaries of him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he was able to be mavdil between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wouldn't just enter the Mishkan without being called. In other words, the ultimate das is to recognize that human seichel is limited and the divine seichel is so superior that it's not really possible for a human being to fully grasp the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's a double-edged sword. What was the sin of Adam HaRishon? Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. You know, there's a pasuk in Koheles. Levad rezeh matzasi asher asah Elohim es hadam yashar v'heima v'kshu chishvayna yisrabim. Pasuk says like this. Look what I found. God made man straight. But man seeks many cheshbainais. But look at the pasuk. God made man straight, and they seek cheshbainais. Rashi says, what does it mean God made man straight? When Adam was just Adam, he was a straight guy. When Chava came to the picture, then all of a sudden, they started seeking out far dreita, far krumta, complicated cheshboinos. God said, don't eat the fruit. So, no, God said, don't touch the fruit, but see, we could touch the fruit, so really we could eat the fruit, and he meant don't eat it now, but we could eat it later. They came up with all kinds of far dreita cheshboinos. Man was created straight, they sought out cheshboinos rabim. In other words, they wanted to start to apply their own seichel and to qualify, quantify, determine the parameters exactly God means under these circumstances because of this logic. The sin of the Eitz Hadas, there is Das of Tumah and Das of Tahara. Das of Tumah is to say that man was created as the highest level of creation. He is endowed with seichel, and therefore he can apply seichel to everything that exists in this world, that whatever God tells us, we're going to apply our seichel to, and we'll determine when it applies, how it applies, and under what circumstances. And that is the sin of the Eitz Hadas that brought all tumah to the world, was man aggrandizing his own seichel to qualify and quantify when God's decree applies. And what did that bring to the world? Tumas Meis, Tumas Metzora, Tumas Nida, all tumah came to the world because of the pursuit of the das of man, the Eitz Hadas. By the way, even tumah of relations, of the Gemara says, "Ein kishoy ela ledas." The Gemara says, even all tumah, even tumas keri, "Ein kishoy ela ledas." All tumah is sourced in the desire of man to aggrandize his own seichel and to use that to determine A, when Hashem's mitzvahs apply, and B, how the world should run. And how do we purify ourselves from the sins of the Eitz Hadas? We purify ourselves through Taharos. What's Taharos? Das. The Rambam says it's the one area of Torah that is above and beyond human understanding. When a person submits their mind, when a person lowers and bows and defers their seichel, their das, and to say that I was endowed with das, but relative, kalape, the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is batel umavutal, I'm now going to engage in a branch, in a mektsoya of Torah that I don't understand, but I know it's MS because the Almighty gave it. That is the mei hadas. Das is to recognize havdalah. This is the extent of my das, and Ribbono Shel das is superior. That cannot be achieved by learning any other seder in Mishnayos, because everything else has a logic and a system and have seichel to it. And since we understand it and since it's reasonable to us, we're not submitting our das and will not purify us from that sin of Adam HaRishon, who wanted to involve himself in Chishvoinois Rabim. It's the Chishvoinois Rabim that brings great tumah to the world. By the way, in the Parsha Paraduma, the pasuk says, Zois Chukas HaTorah Adam Ki Yamas Ba'ayhal. And the Gemara says, Ein Torah Niknes El B'misha Meimis Atzmai Aleha. Torah can only be acquired by somebody who kills himself over it, really is moser nefesh to apply himself to learning. So the simple meaning is, in order to be successful in learning, you need to devote yourself and have some self-sacrifice. But the Sefer Shemana Toiv says, the sacrifice we're talking about here, that's required to be successful in learning, is to sacrifice the greatest element of man, and that is to sacrifice one's own seichel and das, and recognize that there is a das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is above and beyond that. And therefore, the ultimate purification comes through the quintessential chayk that makes least sense to us. Which element of Torah brings the greatest purity? Paraduma. Isn't that interesting? Paraduma. Paraduma we have the least understanding of. Even Shlomo HaMelech could not understand Paraduma. So Paraduma, which is the quintessential chayk, will bring the greatest tahara. Yeah, because tumah came into the world because of the involvement in the Eitz Hadas, and therefore the ultimate tahara has to come through that element of Torah, which is only the das of Elohim. Now, could it be that the Medrash tells us, Paraduma, Zu Yisrael. Paraduma represents the Jewish people. And the Sefer Be'er Yosef explains that Paraduma represents really the destiny and the history of the Jewish people. Because the history of the Jewish people is the greatest dichotomy that ever was. On the one hand, we're the smallest people who ever lived. So what are the chances that we will be around the longest? What are the chances that the Ma'at Mikol Ha'amim would be the eternal nation? What are the chances that the most persecuted and hated among the nations of the world would be the eternal nation? These are the paradoxes of Jewish history. Does it make sense? Do we understand it? Says the Medrash, exactly. The Para Aduma is Yisrael. The Para Aduma is reflective of the history and the Hashkacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. You know when Yosef learned Tarais? Yosef doesn't understand. He's kidnapped from his father. They rip off his garment. They throw him into the pit. He figured life is over. He's not together with his father anymore. He's not together with his family. He's going to be thrown to Egypt. They ripped off his prize cloak. And then, a few years later, he encounters Ashes Potiphera. And what does she do? She rips off his shirt, but he runs away. How is he able to overcome the challenge? Sfasemis writes, because he was already groomed for this challenge. When the brothers ripped off his garment, and Yosef was accepted the hashkacha of this event, Yosef enabled himself to do the will of God even when his shirt is ripped off. So when she tempted him, Yosef said, I already did that before. Oh, Yosef, maybe that's why God brought me to that situation before. And Yosef's sitting on the bottom of the pit. He's the lowest spot on earth. He's a Jewish slave on the bottom of a pit of snakes and scorpions. And then we would ask Yosef at that point in history, who is the last guy in the world who would become the most powerful person in the world? It's me. And Yosef experienced Para Aduma Elu Yisrael. He experienced the paradoxical nature of the destiny and history of the Jewish people. That was his Taharos. That was his Das. He realized that the mitzvot of Hashem are above and beyond human comprehension. He realized the way God governs the world is above and beyond human comprehension. That's the chelek of Torah called Das. Das is to recognize this is a limitation of man's understanding. God's understanding is above and beyond that. And that, the clouding of that line brought all tuma into the world. The sin of the Eitz Hadas brought all tuma into the world. And it's the learning of Taharos, specifically the Paraduma, where man submits his Das, his Memis Atzmai over the Torah, meaning he submits his Das, that brings to the Taharos of Das. That's why the Rambam writes, once a person commits himself to separate from improper attitudes, he purifies his soul in what the Rambam calls Me Hadas. Das is the recognition of the ultimate understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which brings the greatest Tara and the greatest purity. Thanks everyone for listening. Wishing everyone a good tovach, Shavua Tov. And we'll see you next Wednesday night, Bezos Hashem. Kol Tov. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.